have been able to participate with Sister Pat and Brother Jared, this wonderful experience for them. You know, it is just amazing to me how God continues to add to individuals. He brings revelation. He builds upon what he's established. This church, this relationship thing, isn't anything new to either of them. Sister Pat, you said you were 7 years old. She's been in the church since she was 7 years old. This isn't new. But I'm thankful that individuals, even we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, we can either shut off and say, nope, there's no more for me to know about God. Or we can say, Lord, lead me, guide me, show me. I want to grow in you. And I'm grateful that the Lord brings individuals, brings us together with individuals who are willing to wait upon him, who are willing to let him build upon the foundation in their lives that they've already built. Life Church doesn't get to take any credit for the foundation that you built in your life. The Lord does. And he's continuing to build upon that. He's the chief cornerstone, right? And it's a house fitly framed together as he continues to add those pieces into the body. And we're thankful the Lord's brought you here. I would challenge you, if you haven't already, see Brother Kendrick before you leave today. He's got a copy of Sister Pat's testimony from probably middle of last year, I think. And she tells in her testimony how they ended up in Puyallup. You need to go listen to that. Powerful testimony. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I have good friends, the pastor in Chicago. I think that God could have led you anywhere. But he brought you halfway across the United States to some town you had probably couldn't even pronounce when you were looking at the map. Pew what? That's how God works. Do you understand that we don't just say this kind of stuff, that he orchestrates and places members in the body as he chooses. This is the work of his hand. This isn't men saying, let's see, I hear the economy is great in Seattle. Forget the traffic, but the economy is great. Let's go there. Oh, house prices are, they're ridiculous, but who cares? We'll move there. Who says that? Nobody. I'm trying to figure out how I can move somewhere with cheaper house prices, cheaper cost of living, and no traffic. Nobody says, let's find the worst city on earth and move there. Nobody says that. I'm not saying Seattle's bad, but we're not great. God orchestrates all of these things and he puts them all together. And then he lets us all participate in it. But he does it in such a way that man doesn't get the glory. He gets the glory for it. Last night, actually the last 2 days, Saturday, Friday and Saturday, strong last night, I was feeling in the Holy Ghost like, man, Miko Loxamana needs to speak on Sunday in Puyallup. In the meantime, there's this little app called Polo that Tara and Kaylee use to communicate with each other throughout the day. And all I'm hearing is, man, Noah's sick. Man, I'm not feeling well. Man, the whole house is under the weather. And I'm going, Lord, I want to text him and say, I would like for you to be in Puyallup on Sunday morning. But I know what that is. I got young kids. And when they're sick, it's miserable. I can't take him away from his family. I can't make him be in two services on Sunday. And so this is the internal wrestling match that you end up with. And so I literally said last night, Kaylee mentioned to me, she said, you know, Tara and Miko might be there tomorrow. But she said, I doubt it. She says, Noah's sick. They're probably not going to be there. I said, yeah, yeah. And I determined, I told the Lord right then, I said, Lord, if he's supposed to be here, he'll be here. And I walked out of the prayer room. And he was standing at the top of the stairs. I said, come here. We went into the nursery class. I told him what I just told you. And so I believe that this is divinely appointed. I'm not saying he's going to come share some massive prophecy with you. I'm just saying there are times and places where I believe God orchestrates things. And this is one such of those situations. And we're appreciative that the Lord, again, allows us to minister together, to work together with individuals. And so I'm going to ask Brother Miko to come right now and take his liberty, whatever the Lord asks him to do.
Man, praise the Lord. I was holding Noah's hand, walking down those doors, saying hi to some people here, some old friends, and I see my brother-in-law's face, and I was like, oh, no. I mean, oh. I'm working on that, like, not, oh, no, the reaction of, oh, no, but just, oh, okay. Thank God I prayed this morning. Amen. Here's the thing, though. My wife, I actually believe my wife has a gift of discernment, because she sees things in people that I probably won't see for the next 10 years. And she senses things in situations, generally those where someone is, you know, the unfortunate person in a situation, and points that out to me in a way that I would have never seen. Oh, that person there, you know, we should have shown them more attention in that moment, or that person there looked like they were needing something, in need. I appreciate that. And last night, talking about unfortunate, right? Someone needing something. Last night, Tara says to me, maybe we should be in Puyallup tomorrow morning. What do you think? I'm like, sure. I mean, okay. And it makes for a long day. I'm going to be out of town for business for the next 4 days. Sure. Well, I don't know. We'll see. And then later on, she's like, I asked you because, you know, maybe we're supposed to be there. I'm like, okay, we'll be there. And now I get it. I was the one in that situation in need of something. I needed prayer at that moment. And she saw that. I'm appreciative of her. And I'm so appreciative of everything that's happening in this congregation in Kent. God's doing some things in there, in the people. All across Life Church, really. Does anyone believe that? Anyone excited about the direction that this church is headed in? I just believe that. And I'm standing here as, you know, 28 years old, been in this my entire life, but feeling refreshed in a way I never have in my entire life. As if there's a new beginning, a new path we're headed down, and God's doing some things. And if we want to be a part of it, we just need to play the game. Amen. And I truly feel that. And I feel that for anyone who's been here for decades, or whether this is week one, God's doing some things in this church, in this congregation, across all the congregations. And we have a part to play. Amen. Amen. I believe that the word still works, as Brother Johnstone was saying. I was in a Bible study recently, and Bishop gave me a point. You know, we checked in a few minutes before that Bible study. I was on my way to the Starbucks. I got on the phone with him, and he said, hey, you know, if you get led down a rabbit trail, some people have been down this, where you show up for a Bible study, and you start talking, you start going through the materials, and you realize someone's here to debate you, not actually learn or have a conversation. And so what he said was, you know, regardless of what you sense, whether it's debate or whether it's actual need, desire for learning, just point them to the Word. Just point them to the Word. Point them to the truths in here. You don't need to debate logic. You don't need to debate. You don't need to go in ready to give a lesson. Like, honestly, you don't need to have a degree. I went to Christian Life College, and I didn't graduate. Anyways, that's a different topic. But I sat in those hermeneutics and theology of the church classes and read some of those books. And didn't pass all of them, but even then, I don't need to have a degree in this to point someone to the scriptures. And I would encourage you, I know this is not super deep, but there are resources out there. We have resources. I pulled out this random, I was looking through what we had. You know, there's Search for Truth, 14 weeks, whatever. And then there's this little pamphlet called House to House. That's just 3 pages. And it leads people through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the parallels of that. Everyone understand typology and the way that in Old Testament and the New Testament, there are parallels in the two. So through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, there are very simple things the Bible shows us to prove that this is his plan of salvation for us. And as you're reading this with someone, they can come to revelation and understand, oh, Jesus died to represent repentance. Wow, he was buried. He was put in the grave, in the tomb, to represent baptism. And then he rose again to represent new life through the Holy Spirit. And God did a work in those individuals. I mean, that was an incredible time. And he truly showed me in that conversation that you show someone the truth, you show someone the scripture, you point them to it, and they make a decision whether they take it or not. And maybe they take it later. Maybe they'll say yes to it later. But your responsibility, your accountability, the thing that God entrusts you with is pointing them to the truth. You don't have to do anything else. Just point them to the truth, love them, and let God do the work. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. Amen? So let's read some scriptures here. Before we do that, I wonder if we could pray for a moment. Father, we need you, Jesus.
Hikata yarabo shoto lobo. Hiata yarabo shoto.
Jesus. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Jonah chapter 1, the book of Jonah. I see some laughs. I don't know. Jonah chapter 1. I wonder if we could read this all, the entire chapter, the first chapter, and we'll go through that. Okay. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And then we can actually skip down just a few verses. So you're all pretty familiar with this story, I imagine. This is one of those VeggieTales stories. Like VeggieTales level, where everyone in the room is like, yeah, okay, like we know what happens here. But there's some things in that I want to call out today. So let's skip down to verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So I just want to talk about Jonah's life for a few minutes, if that's okay. Because this is a story, this is a prime example of something that we as Christians start to take in as a, I call this like the VeggieTales factor. I heard it described once as the VeggieTales factor. You know what the VeggieTales factor does? It takes stories that are in the Bible, right? Bible stories that are actually very powerful, you know, very clear, and there's lots of things happening, and these are stories of redemption. And what it does is it reduces them so that the children can understand, which is great. We need that. But it reduces these stories to just a few simple kind of things about that story. So what do we know about the story of Jonah from a VeggieTales perspective? It's basically play nice, right? Generally, the themes in these stories are be nice to each other, don't lie, don't steal, don't run away from God. When he tells you to do something, don't do the opposite thing, so obey. That's generally the story of Jonah, right? The problem with that is that, again, how many believe this is spirit and this is life? In this chapter, the same verse that says, you know, the devils, thou believest in one God, the devils also believe and they tremble. That's powerful, right? That's powerful example of this one God that we believe in, not multiple deities. That same power is present in this chapter about Jonah. And if we remove the lens that we put on when we read Jonah, when we read stories like Jonah, we were like, okay, VeggieTales time. Let's see what very, very basic core things that I could get out of this and ignore some of the revelation he has for us in this. And so I just want to talk about this for a few moments. I did a study on the character of Jonah a few months ago, and as we were praying before service, and some of the things Brother Johnstone spoke about, some of the songs we sang, it confirmed this in my spirit. So I want to read through this. Verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Let's look at the word Jonah. Jonah means, has anyone ever looked up what it means, the name? It means dove. Dove, you know, messenger of peace, peace, things like that, right? Now, Amittai. Anyone ever looked up what that means? You have no reason to, right? If you're looking at this like it's a VeggieTales story, why would you care about who Amittai is and what that name stood for? So I looked up the word Amittai. Amittai means faithfulness. So right away, verse 1, once you wrap up verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Dove, the son of faithfulness, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Okay, that's interesting. Dove, son of faithfulness. Interesting. Nineveh. Now, you might be familiar with this. Nineveh was the biggest city, the greatest city of that generation. Almost 1,000 years before Jesus, right? This was the biggest, largest, most advanced city. This was the New York City of, well, New York City of that time. And it was massive. And so now the word of the Lord came unto Dove, the son of faithfulness, saying, arise, go to the greatest city on earth and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So as I was reading into this, looking through themes and stories in the book of Jonah and trying to understand it a little bit more in the character of Jonah, I realized this thing. I stumbled upon some resources where I read that, you know, the Bible isn't just a collection of historical, blank begat blank and blank lived for this many years and then this happened. Those are some historical, recordings, right? But there are also poems. There are also songs in the Bible. And the story of Jonah is almost like a comic book. I mean, don't throw anything at me for saying that. This is what I mean. It's almost poetic in the way that it describes these great things and these incredible things that happen that you don't see in real life, right? Like a giant fish that swallows a man and he stays there in the belly of the fish for 3 days. It's almost comic book-like. And so what it tells me is that there's almost this like element of irony, almost this element of satire, almost this element of, you know, painting this big picture so that people can really understand what he's emphasizing through the scripture, what God is emphasizing through the words that are being penned here. So now the word of the Lord came unto Dove, the son of faithfulness. Now this is getting to me. Now I'm realizing, okay, if you read through the book of Jonah, I'm not going to read through all of it. If you read through the book, honestly, go home and read it. And don't read it from a VeggieTales perspective. Read it as it's any other story and try and gain from it, you know, the things that God wants to illuminate. And here's what'll happen. It's one of those stories where you're like, this is crazy. Like, what is wrong with this guy? This is incredible. What's going on with this guy? And then you start reading things and you're like, okay. So I think Jonah might be a representation of someone. And I get the feeling that it's one of those stories where it's like a mirror and it's slowly pointing towards you. And the more you read it, the more you realize, those are things I've done. Wow, I do that sometimes. Oh, that's my reaction to the things God tells me. Okay, this is awkward. Now I'm reading this story about God's call on my life. Whatever that pertains to, God's call and the way that I react to it with my own human tendencies. Honestly, read it, and you'll see that in your own life. This story is a picture of a relationship with God at work. It's all of the times that God calls us to great things. God calls us down a certain path. God calls us to people. God calls us to situations at work, and we're like, yeah, no, I'm okay. I'm going to go to Joppa instead because I have my own plan. See, here's the thing. When that guy prophesied over me at church, this is how I thought it would actually play out. So I'm going to go do this instead because that makes more sense. Like, that's the more logical thing. That's really big, the thing that God's called me to over there. So I think maybe I'll start with Joppa. You know, I'll start with Joppa and work my way over, you know, across the entire breadth of the land, over to Nineveh eventually. Because we have our plans, right? And sometimes here's the thing. God calls us to something, and we like to insert our plan into God's calling and say, okay, you've called me to this. I'm going to modify that to this. But that's mostly what you're calling me to, right? Honestly, read the story. That's all that happens in this book. Jesus. Another thing I want to call out about this chapter is that how many, you know, we keep using the V word. How many people understand that the whale is like the biggest part, or think of the whale as the biggest part, or how many think of the whale the first moment you hear Jonah? Like, how many kids? 100% of the kids, right? You know, the whale is meant, he's not even a whale, right? It's a fish. The fish is mentioned, I think, 3 times in the whole book. There's like 4 or 5 chapters. It's mentioned 3 times. But that's what everyone comes to know. That's what everyone comes to think of when they think of Jonah. And what that stuck out to me as is that we love to dwell on the miracles. We love to dwell on the big things he does. We love to dwell on that healing that he made happen. When we called on his name and that one thing happened, and that's the thing that we hang our hat on. But here's the thing. What was God calling Jonah to? And here's what I'm getting at today. What was God calling Jonah to? He was calling Jonah to orchestrate, to be a part of the biggest miracle of that time. You understand me, the greatest city in the world at that time. God was calling Jonah to speak just a few words and cause the hearts of millions to turn. Did he eventually do that? Yes, he did, because you know what? God redeems. God always does that. But in that moment, in that story, God was calling Jonah to be a part of the greatest miracle of that time. And what we get out of it is that because he ran away, what we get out of it is that this fish came upon and swallowed him up. So I would just encourage someone in this room, if you feel like God placed a call on your life, you've got a word of God in your life, and whether you feel it's active or it's not, whether you feel it's just around the corner or if it's somewhere down the path, don't discount that call. If you believe that was the word of God spoken into your life, cling on to that. And here's what's going to happen. Miracles will take place in between now and then. He's going to make things happen between now and then. And whether or not it affects the ending of the story, that doesn't matter. Here's what I believe. I believe that our God redeems. I believe that every single time we make a mistake or we change course or we go the other way, God still redeems. Did he not perform the miracle in Nineveh eventually? He did. Jonah just said a few words and the entire city turned around. Their hearts turned. The king of the city turned his heart from just a few words. God eventually did that. Because he redeems. So here's the thing. Whether you're Jonah today and you've got a call on your life, and I don't mean necessarily pulpit call, but just a call in your life to reach someone, whether you feel like it's a family member who no one feels could be reached in your family, or whether you feel it's a work situation or a friend of yours who you're trying to figure out why you're in contact with, what's the reasoning for this connection with this person in my life? That, you know what that is? It's because God puts you there. It's because God puts you two together. Right. And Jonah didn't see that. Jonah had what does Bishop like to call it? Windshield. He didn't have that windshield on. What he had was his own human windshield. And what he thought was, I don't know if God could do that in me. I don't know if I'm ready for it. Oftentimes, it's not really that we believe God, can't do it. It's just that we think we're not ready for it. Let's pray. Father, you know the plans and the thoughts that you have towards us, Father. Father, bring clarity to my situation, Jesus. Let me know, Father. Confirm in my life, Father, the situations that you place me in, Jesus. The people that you place me around, Father. Make it clear in my life, Jesus. See, the story is me. The story of Jonah is actually the story of me and my life. Because He's almost saying, child, you are, like, I've anointed you since the beginning. I've had a plan for you since the beginning. You are the son of faithfulness. I feel like someone needs to hear this today. Jonah is every single one of us. And he calls us the son of faithfulness. But the thing about the son of faithfulness is that he didn't realize it. He forgot that he was the son of faithfulness. If we could just remember who our Father is. If we could just remember who our Father is. Hikaraboshoto. Hioloboshoto robosha. Hikatarabosho. Hialaboshoto roboko. You know, God may have performed a work in your life recently. God may have done something in your life. He's probably made a way for you recently. I would just urge everyone in this room, everyone under the sound of my voice, that miracle may or may not be the end point of what he's called you to. It's very possible that it's not. Oftentimes, these miracles are just delivery. They're just vehicles. They're just delivery methods to get us from point A to point B or from point B to point C. He's still got a plan. He's still calling us to Nineveh. He's still calling us to a situation that seems even more impossible. So don't lose sight of that. If he's done something in your life recently, he's just taking you closer to Nineveh. He's just taking you closer. Father, where do you want me, Jesus? I want to be in lockstep with you, Jesus. Show me, Father, your path every day, Father. Every day, Jesus, when I'm in prayer with you, Father, when I'm reading your word, illuminate your path for me, Jesus, in my life, God. Hikarabo shoto yoloboko. Hioto yorobosha. Hialabo shoto robosha. Jesus. See, Jonah ran away from his life. Or ran for his life. That's what it was, right? Because he thought that the miracle was so impossible. The calling that God had on his life seemed so impossible that he thought he would die from it. He thought it meant death. And so he ran for his life, right? But remember the miracle that God wanted to orchestrate in Nineveh. He was called to speak life to Nineveh. So when you run from your life, you run for your life because of a situation God's called you to, sometimes that's a tendency, right? And that's all I'm really talking about today. I just want to illustrate some things God showed me about my own tendencies and what I think a lot of us do in reaction to God's word, in reaction to his plan for us. A lot of times, because the thing that God has called me to, I tend to just snap back or, like, you know, go somewhere that's safe. I want safety. I want low risk. I don't want my safety in jeopardy. And so oftentimes I run. I run from that calling because it seems dangerous. It seems risky. It seems like he's calling me out to an edge. It seems a little bit edgy. And so I run, right? And what I don't realize in that moment is that I'm actually running away from his covering. I'm actually running away from the path that he has for me, which, you know, what is his path? His word is a lamp unto it. Jesus, he cut that. That is his covering. His covering is on that path. And the further I get out from that, I don't realize it, but I'm actually endangering myself more. I'm actually putting myself in more harm. I'm actually putting others in harm. Here's the other thing about that story. The further he gets from the call of God, he ends up out in the middle of the sea, headed towards Joppa, he endangers these men's lives. These people's lives are in jeopardy because he ran away from his call. And he was just looking out for himself. But in reality, he was this close to killing himself, to his own death, and to the death of these innocent bystanders. It's dangerous. God was calling him to something incredibly risky, but was going to keep him prosperous that entire time. I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. They are those of peace. There is peace in his calling. There is peace in his calling. Even though it's in the middle of the storm, there's peace in his calling. It's better than feel like the short-term feeling of peace out of his calling. Hikata yarabo shoto. Hiolobo shoto robo shoto. In the name of Jesus.
I want you to talk to the Lord right now. He's drawing somebody. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Don't brush this off. There's people in the room who've been here before, and you're on the run today, but the Lord's given you one more chance. He's reaching one more time. Consider today the middle of the storm for you, and he's reaching in. He's reminding you, listen, this is still the destination. I'm still reaching for you. I'm still calling you. I haven't given up. Just because you ran doesn't mean I changed my mind. Just because you've brushed me off in the past and refused to surrender to my will doesn't mean that I've changed my mind. Oh, I wonder if you'd yield right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask the musicians to come, but I want to share a couple of things with you. There's revelation in the room. The Lord's revealing things while Amiko was teaching. I'm not sure if you would consider that a homicide or a suicide. I'm not trying to be light here. I mean serious. But Jonah came to a place in his running from God that he was willing to end his life. Let that sink in for a minute. He came to a place mentally. He had ran from God. He was running from God to such a level that he was willing to say, throw me overboard. Friend, if they couldn't, read the scripture, read chapter 1. If they couldn't paddle the boat to land, how was one man by himself going to swim his way to land? But, everybody say, but God. But God. I think it's the last or the second to last verse of that chapter that the Bible says, and God prepared. Everybody say, prepared. That's past tense. I'm telling you. telling you today, he knows the intent of your heart. He knows your thought process, and he knows just how far some of you have ran. He's prepared. He's prepared. You can't get to the juncture that Noah was in the calling and all the history that had built up and led up to him being on that boat. And God all while saying, okay, plan B. God had a plan. He prepared for Jonah's running. He prepared for it. And he was there to save him. At one of Jonah's lowest points, no pun intended, but at his lowest point, he was prepared to save him because he cared that much about Jonah. And the calling and the purpose upon Jonah's life was so important to the Lord that he made preparation throughout time. Not just in making him the son of faithfulness and all the things that led up to that. But he prepared to save him from his own demise. The Lord's trying to tell somebody just how important you are to him today. You know how many times the Lord saved me from my own demises? The times I tried to take my life into my own hands and fix it and make it work. And yeah, that's great, but I'm going to go here and I'll do this. And thank God he's been prepared. I believe that there's a drawing of the Holy Ghost today upon people with regard to calling and ministry. I feel that. There's a witness of that in the room today. But I feel strongly that for a few individuals in the room, it's a call to salvation. The thought of ministry is so far removed from you right now. You can't even wrap your mind around that. This drawing that you're feeling today is just a drawing to relationship with him. He's wanting to take you to a deeper depth. He's wanting to do something powerful in your life that you've not yet experienced before. You're on the precipice of it. The word's there. Go to Nineveh. The word's there. Follow me. I love you. I care about you. All those negative thoughts that you have about yourself, all the things that you wrestle with on a personal level, I'm aware of those things and I care about you and I continue to draw you time and time and time and time again back to this place. And one more time, here we are, January the 27th, 2019. I'm drawing one more time. Even while Jonah was on the run, God was prepared. Even while Saul was on the road with a plan, God was prepared. And he was prepping the situation where Saul would go, who he would be connected with. He was connecting all the dots. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is trying to help somebody understand today. That's the level of detail that he has on you, and that's the level that he is concerned about you. Please stand. I'm not going to make some great appeal today, but I'm just going to ask you, if you feel the tugging of God upon your heart, or if you've been at this place before where you felt like, you know, I felt this before, but I told the Lord it wasn't time yet. I wasn't ready yet. I'm inviting you to come and surrender yourself to the Lord today. Maybe this is an invitation to stop running. Maybe it's an invitation to throw up your hands and surrender. I don't know what that means for you, but this is your opportunity to surrender to him. Whatever his drawing is, whatever stage of life, stage of ministry, deeper dimension of relationship that you need with him, it's available to you today. Would you surrender your life to it in the name of Jesus?
I surrender. say.